Like the folk song relates, the November gales came early on Lake Superior in 1975, a storm more fierce than even the most experienced lake carrier crews had ever seen hit the eastern side of the lake. That night, Captain Dudley Paquette was shipmaster of the lake carrier Wilfred Sykes.
We were really out right in the middle of the lake. Just huge seas, 30, 35 foot seas, 30 foot at least. I was completely awash, and I was on a super ship. I was registering 70 steady, 70 knots steady, with gust up to 100. Just huge seas. I was completely awash, and the water was flying right over the top of my bridge.
Like the carrier Wilfred Sykes, the Edmund Fitzgerald was a big ship. But early in the day, the captain saw ominous signs of trouble. The topside fence rails had snapped, the vents were torn off, the radar was out. And the Edmund Fitzgerald's captain, Ernest McSorley, had all the bilge pumps on, trying to keep the ship from swamping. Tom Holden is the curator of the Army Corps of Engineers Marine Museum. He says Captain McSorley was in radio contact with Captain Jesse Cooper of the nearest ship, the Arthur Anderson.
The topside damage was an earlier report, and it was after suffering this damage that Captain McSorley did contact Cooper and ask him to shadow him down the lake. It was really several hours later that what could be the last transmission from the Fitzgerald was received. And essentially, Captain Cooper or the mate asked McSorley how he was doing, how the vessel was riding, and he said, "We're holding our own, going along like an old shoe."
In an interview from his retirement home in Florida, Arthur Anderson Captain Jesse Cooper said the memory of that night still haunts him. He says Captain McSorley didn't let on that his ship and crew were in danger.
I said he knew he was in trouble, but he couldn't spread the word because it would panic the crew.
How do you think he knew he was in trouble?
But they always do think if you had a hole in the bottom, you'd take it in more water, you'd pump out.
At 7:10 that evening, the Fitzgerald disappeared from radar as it sailed into a snow squall only a few miles from the safety of Whitefish Bay.
I got a feeling when I knew she was gone, when I couldn't see her on scopes.
Radio communication from that night was recorded by the Coast Guard at Sault Ste. Marie, Michigan. The Coast Guard was asking captains to turn back into the storm and search for the Fitzgerald. You'll hear a distressed Captain Cooper answer the call. The U.S. Coast Guard rescue vessel Woodrush had left the Duluth port, but it took 21 hours to arrive on the scene. Captain Jimmy Hobaugh says a life ring from the Fitzgerald popped up as they arrived.
We searched for the 3 full days, and it was rougher than you can imagine. No matter how I turned the ship, we were taking green water over the top. If there had been someone there, I'm positive that my crew was good enough that we would have got them.
None of the men's bodies were recovered. Among the crew of 29 was Third Mate Michael Armagost of Iron River, Wisconsin. His widow Janice says the families of the 29 men who went down with the Edmund Fitzgerald struggle with their loss.
And see, nobody realizes that there are survivors. I mean, my kid's father is on that ship, and my husband's on that ship. And people just think of it as a shipwreck that happened so long ago, and it's not.
The families of the crew of the ship now say all they want is the final resting place of their loved ones to remain undisturbed by divers. Only the bell of the wreck of the Edmund Fitzgerald was recovered and placed in the Great Lakes Shipwreck Museum at Whitefish Point, Michigan, 10 years ago.
The pride of man unwritten in the mariner's code at sea. To all the sailors that have been, and the many that will be, that risk their lives for others, this tribute is to thee.
In Superior, Mike Simonson, Wisconsin Public Radio.
In the kitchen, gooey waters of the shore.